So today we've got Chuck Kaufman from Tucson talking to us here on Community Radio, NIMFM. Chuck is in Tucson and he works with the Alliance for Global Justice. Can you tell us a little bit about the kind of work that the Alliance does and how you became involved with it?
Sure. Thanks for having me on the show. I think this is the first interview I've ever done in Australia. The Alliance for Global Justice grew out of the Nicaragua Network, which was formed in 1979, about 6 months before the triumph of the Sandinista Revolution. And then in the 1990s, we were doing work beyond Nicaragua on anti-globalization and anti-sweatshop work in World Bank and IMF. And so we had a contest and to pick a more appropriate name and came up with Alliance for Global Justice in 1998. So I've been on the staff of Nicaragua Network and then the Alliance for Global Justice for 28 years now, and I'm national co-coordinator. We do pretty broad Latin America work now, as well as other anti-war work. We were one of the founders of the Answer Coalition in the U.S., which did most of the major anti-war demonstrations in the lead-up and after the invasion of Iraq.
Wow, yeah. And you're pretty well immersed in Latin America and Latin American politics. I mean, I guess it must have been Sandinista, well, the example of the Sandinista Revolution in Nicaragua back in 1979 that drew you to Latin America. Would that be right?
Yep, that's true. It was not until 1987, though, that I got so disgusted with the Iran-Contra scandal under Reagan that I gave up my advertising business and began working first as a volunteer for the Nicaragua Network and then became the fundraiser, financial guy, and the rest is history.
Yeah. No, that's a Latin American buff myself. I have seen your name around the various lists and postings about Latin America. You've established quite a reputation, and I must say I was really impressed with an article that you wrote recently that was published on the website for the Alliance for Global Justice. And just looking at the, I guess it's a U.S. perspective on some of the latest developments in Latin America, probably, the radical changes in Venezuela. And you mentioned in that article, or the theme of that article, was the idea of constructive criticism. But just for our listeners here, can you give us a quick rundown of what Venezuela is achieving through ALBA?
Right, sure. I don't know how much on that side of the globe ALBA has been reported, so I don't know how much your listeners
very
know.
Very little.
So let me do a little background on ALBA. ALBA stands for Bolivarian Alliance for the Peoples of Our Americas. Its concept is a cooperative trade versus the U.S. European model of free trade. It was formed in 2004 by Venezuela and Cuba. Bolivia joined soon after, and Nicaragua and Ecuador joined in 2007, and there's about a half a dozen Caribbean island nations there are members. Honduras was a member for a brief time until the June 28, 2009 coup overthrew President Zelaya. And so Alba, the whole idea is to provide an alternative trading model to the savage free trade that just further impoverishes the countries of the global south. But Alba's also more than just a trading group. It's a step on realizing Simón Bolívar's dream of Latin American integration, just, you know, including social, political, and economic integration. It's anti-imperialist, so it's formed a bloc in Latin America that has has enabled Latin America to free itself from U.S. hegemony to a large extent. Of course, the U.S. empire isn't going to take that lying down.
No, I haven't.
Right. One of the points that I make in the article is that no victory is forever. We have to constantly defend our victories. It has been a real victory for Latin America to move farther away from the U.S. orbit, but the U.S. is pouring, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars into phony civil society groups and using the drug war, et cetera, to try to turn back what some journalists described as the pink tide in Latin America. So our work is important. And since, President Hugo Chavez died, 2 years ago, they've doubled, the U.S. and the corporate interests have doubled down on their efforts to destabilize not just Venezuela, but the other Alba countries as well. The achievements that have been made by those countries, for instance, Cuba already had wiped out illiteracy, but through Alba cooperation, so now have Venezuela, Bolivia, Ecuador, and Nicaragua, according to the UN, measurements of illiteracy. They are able to trade with each other in kind, which means that they don't have to have U.S. dollars to trade with each other, which is a real stranglehold that the U.S. puts on, the world economy. You got to have dollars to be involved in international trade, but Venezuela sells oil to Cuba or Nicaragua, and Cuba pays for it by sending doctors to Venezuela, and Nicaragua pays for it by sending beef and black beans, which Nicaraguans won't eat. It's a very interesting model that could be replicated or could be expanded to include other countries as well.
Yeah, I mean, Cuba did long ago, as the 60s, the early 60s, maybe even the late 50s, Cuba pioneered the literacy campaigns and also the idea of community health. They have the highest ratio of doctors and population. And in the education, and you did mention other countries, so there's actually, someone's been able to slip a few Cubans under the radar here in Australia to enable Aboriginal communities, remote Aboriginal communities here to educate themselves, education programs, and they've got a Cuban teacher out there educating the educators, teaching black leaders, Aboriginal leaders, you know, the methods of the Cuban pedagogy.
Uh-huh.
I think they've piloted it in a remote community called near Wilcannia, which is way out in the west. But yeah, the Cubans are certainly famous for that, and the fact that they can use it as a sort of a trade item, I think is fantastic.
Yeah,
I think in East Timor too, they provided a lot of medical and educational resources.
Yeah, Cuba's such an inspiration when it comes to that tiny little island under blockade, economic blockade of the U.S. for, you know, over half a century, and yet they're the doctors to the world.
A very specific difference between the nature of the free trade, as they call it, between the Alba countries and the ones that the U.S. sponsored. I think here in Australia, we've just read the text of the Trans-Pacific Partnership, which is a free trade setup, which obviously favors the U.S. corporation.
Right.
It contains all the elements, all the negative elements on that. In your article, you mentioned that there are organizations that ostensibly support the process of ALBA and the Bolivarian Alliance that's, I suppose, headed by Cuba and Venezuela. And you say that's inappropriate. Can you expand on that?
Sure. I'm not actually saying it's inappropriate. I'm saying, because I believe we have the right to critique the countries that we're in solidarity with, but what I'm asking organizations and individuals to do is to ask themselves a few questions before they make public criticisms. My article is kind of U.S. centric, so I don't know to what extent it is reflected in Australia, but the first question that I ask people to ask is to what extent have we internalized U.S. exceptionalism and believe that we have the right to be heard on any issue about which we have an opinion? Our definition of solidarity is that we amplify the voices of the people that we're in solidarity with, not that we tell them what their priorities should be. And so, if you believe in sovereignty, there's a whole lot of issues that just plain aren't our business.
Right. Can you specify some?
Well, like the proposed canal in Nicaragua, for instance.
Right, yeah. We have spoken about that on our program several times, yeah.
And I think it's fine for people to be, in favor of it or opposed to it. Our own organization doesn't have a position because we don't we don't have a seat at the table on this, and we think it's up to the sovereign right of the people of Nicaragua to decide the development model that they want to follow. We've already, in the U.S., we've already cut down all of our great forests and, changed the environment here. And in Nicaragua, I think the arguments that the massive reforestation that will have to take place, will improve the environment, so I find it would just be my opinion whether the canal is more environmentally destructive or more environmentally healing.
Yes.
But at any rate, it's up to Nicaraguans, not up to people in the U.S. or Australia or anywhere else, whether that canal gets built or not.
There's sort of differences in the approach. There must be a whole range of solidarity organizations there in the United States.
Right. And, the second question that I ask, which I think really requires groups to do some self-reflection, is When we say that we're in critical support, do we spend as much effort on the support as we do on the criticism?
Right.
Because it's easy to say you support something, but if all you're ever doing is pointing out its weaknesses, then I question whether that's really support.
Yeah. Well, I won't ask you to point out what you see as some of the weaknesses, but really, I think what was interesting about your article was what it implies about the condition or the state of the left in the U.S. Can you give us what's your impression of the left and how it's working in the United States? Because we just get sort of very impressionistic images of activism there in the States here in Australia.
Well, the left in the U.S. is pretty marginalized. It's split into lots of different groups who oftentimes seem like they're contesting with each other more than they're contesting with the empire. But I mean, there's important education that takes place, but you know, the United States is such a huge country and such a big population that it's, you educate 100 people, at an event or something, and there's, 320 million people in the country. We're not operating on the scale that we need to operate in order to have an actual effect on public policy. But, then things come up like the rash of killing, or at least the media's attention finally to the killing of unarmed black men by police, and things can grow quickly. It's important that we have a left in the U.S.
Yes.
And, that we stay active and, ready to be part of something larger when conditions exist for it to become larger.
Yeah, it's sort of like, it's a matter of having someone with something to maintain the momentum of these often spontaneous, expressions of dissent, isn't it?
Right, and also to help people analyze what is happening to them and why it's happening to them.
Yeah, that's very important. It's sort of, I think I'm very lucky to have this program here in NIM-FM Community Radio. It does give us the opportunity to relate Latin American issues to some of the things that concern us here in Australia and indeed in NIMBIN. If you might or might not know that there's a very active movement to decriminalize marijuana.
Okay.
So there's a sort of a very strong spirit of anti-authoritarianism here. But you do get people that say, well, what's Latin America got to do with us? And when you can see, for example, there's a company here, a very sleazy outfit called Metgasco that is wants to do, what do they call it, the fracking.
Uh-huh.
Coal seam gas mining.
Right.
Yeah. And this is like prime farming land. Local people here have been able to block that with just quite a spontaneous but very, very strong demonstration camps to block the machinery coming in and that sort of thing. And this sort of things are very similar to some of the things that are happening in Latin America, the resistance to mining.
Right.
And we've had attempts to mine this area as well that have been stopped. And it's very good to be able to relate the local experience with what is going on in Latin America.
Well, and the importance of community radio, I think, can't be overstated. Hugo Chavez recognized that very early on, because all of the corporate media in Venezuela was anti-Chavez, and so he made radio bandwidth available for community radio and community TV even, and provided money for groups to get started, and there's really a vibrant community radio and TV in Venezuela. Okay, if I give our webpage on there.
Sure, so go for it. Yeah.
It's www.afgj.org. So that's the initials of Alliance for Global Justice.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay.
Chuck Kaufman.